Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Last week, 1st of January, and again, I want to really honour people for coming out. You know, when I look at the church and see how many people are on holidays and see how many people are here this morning, knowing how hot it's been and how hot it's going to get today, I honour you for coming out and for worshipping God. I honour the families who bring their children. I know how hard it is to have children often in church when it's hot, when they're tired, or when they're a bit restless, when there's not children's ministry on. Thank you for coming out. I really do honour you, and particularly at the early part of this year when so many are on holidays. Last week, if you were here, I talked about giving God thanks and just looking at the whole area of things that we have to be thankful for. Knowing that this year or this week that I was going to speak on this subject, and it's interesting, the songs that were chosen, nobody would have known what I was going to speak on. It's just been a thought in my mind for a couple of weeks now, but God put on my heart to speak on God will give you the desires of your heart. And so I knew as I spoke last week about giving thanks that for some, that message could have had a negative outworking. They could have been sitting in church listening to me talk about giving thanks for all the great things that God has done, yet knowing deep within their heart that it was only highlighting an unanswered prayer or a desire that they'd had this time last year as they moved into a new year, hoping that things would change, that things would be different. You know, there's nothing that you desire that God is not already aware of, and his promises are exactly that. When he says he will give us the desires of our heart, that's the truth, because that's his word, that's his promise. The unfortunate part is when things don't go as we think they should, we start to doubt that promise. We start to doubt that truth. We allow walls of discouragement. We allow disappointment to start to rob us from trusting God, from trusting his promises, from trusting his word. And as we start to do that, that opens the door for Satan to be able to sow more and more infection to cause us to doubt God more and more. And we just do a spiral down to the point that we don't pray, we don't believe, we don't trust, because we haven't seen those answers that we've been desiring. My prayer is that everyone in this room today will leave here with a renewed confidence that God wants to and God will give you the desires of your heart. He'll give me the desires of my heart. Now, I know every one of us have deep, heartfelt desires. You know, they could be just something like, God, I want to go deeper with you this year. God, I want more of you this year. God, I want you to open up something fresh for me to do this year. Or it could be something that has a negative aspect to it, that you've got something missing in your life. You might deeply desire to have a relationship, a partner of some sort, and that you're, every time you look at it, you see yourself being disappointed or hurt. And so you've tried to move away from the desires of your heart. It could be that you're trying to struggle to overcome something, or that you have a financial difficulty in your marriage or in your relationships, or difficulty in health. So the question is, if God says, which he does, that he will give us the desires of his heart, which is a truth and a promise, and he does, then how does it happen? How do we receive the desires of our heart? Now, I often allow my mind to play what I call go through the Bible tiggy. And it probably comes from, again, Pastor Oxley pummeling into my brain back in Bible college that statement, what does the Bible say? And I am so thankful for that question that continually comes into my mind. So whenever I think of anything, whenever I hear anyone preaching, whenever I listen to somebody talk, my mind is always saying, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? So what does the Bible say about this subject? And the first word that came to my mind as I started to think of the word desire is the word ask. There are so many scriptures in the Bible in regard to the word ask. How about this one? This one came to mind. You lust and you do not have. Now, this is no one in here. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. That's no one here. You fight and war. No one here. Maybe someone here. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Often we don't have because we forget to ask. There's a very vital point there. And then it goes on to say, you ask and you do not receive. And again, this has got a little clause to it, as most scriptures do in God. It says, you ask and you do not receive because you've asked amiss, that you might spend it on your pleasure. So in short, sometimes our asking is just to satisfy some fleshly desire, something that we would have, a pleasure. Oh, God, I would like a bigger boat. Oh, maybe God, it'd be just nice to have a boat. Or, God, I'd like a bigger house. Or I'd like a house. Or I'd like a car. Or I'd like a wife or a husband. Whatever the case may be. Could be that your desire is a fleshy desire, and that's why you do not have. Or Matthew 7, it says this, ask and it will be given to you. Now, when you see ask, seek and knock in this scripture, it really is a repetitive ask. It's really a repetitive seek. It's really a repetitive knock. It's ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Don't just ask once, keep asking. Don't just knock once, keep knocking. Don't just seek once, keep seeking. And then it says, and it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened to you. And again, when I read that scripture, I see it as a promise. I see it as a definite. I see it as something that God says he will do. And again, I've learnt over the years that it's not God that's wrong when things don't seem to work the way I think they should work. God's word says what's going to happen, and that's what's going to happen, and that's the way I believe it. One of my favourite scriptures, a scripture I remember God gained birth into my brain right back in about 1974 when I was seeking God about whether I should go to Bible college or not. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. I could give you test me after test me after test me of the times that I have actually stood on this word, actually prayed this scripture back to God and said, God, your word says, seek you first and all things will be added unto you. You know, when God births something in you, when God gives you a rhema, a revelation of his word, you know that it's him giving you the faith to stand on that word. And that's one of those scriptures that God has given me faith to stand on. Because it's one of my rhema scriptures. It's one of my revealed scriptures from him. It's not just something I've read. It's something I've read and it's been birthed in my heart in a sense that I just don't have any doubt. I just know that I know that I know that it works. The trouble is, with so many scriptures, we don't understand time in God. We think that when we ask, it's going to happen right now. When we seek, it's going to happen right now. When we knock, it's going to happen right now. Or when we wait on God for half an hour, then everything's going to be all right. But that's not often the way it works. Well, it isn't for me anyhow. So without forgetting the principles of scriptures like we've read, let's go to Psalm 37. And I think Psalm 37 is one of those scriptures that God clearly shows us what we must do to receive the desires of our heart. It's one of these, what I'd call recipe scriptures. You get the recipe, you find out what the ingredients are, and then you go through how to do it and put it together. And that's how I see this scripture. It's literally one of those recipe scriptures that you can open up and you can follow through. Right, do I have all the ingredients in my cupboard? Yes, I do. Right now, step one, step two, step three, step four, and you work your way through it. And this is what I believe this scripture is. And so, if you've got your Bibles, open it. If you haven't got your Bibles, why don't you read? But let's, this morning, try and grab what God is saying. I've kept this message really short this morning. I've kept it short on purpose because I want you to go away remembering what I said at the start and remembering what I said at the end. I want you to go away knowing what God wants you to say and wants you to do. So rather than giving you an incredibly long sermon that clouds the start and the end, let's just get the pith of what this message is all about this morning. Psalm 37 verse 3 says this, and I've again praised it out of the word. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And so we've got the before and now we've got the and. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. And then the after. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Cease from anger and do not fret because it only causes harm. You know, I haven't and don't want to this morning unpack the whole of Psalm 37, and really it would be good to look at the whole of Psalm 37. But in summary, as I said as I was reading the scripture, I see this scripture in two parts. The before and the after. The first part of the recipe is to trust in the Lord. Unless you trust in God, unless you can say you trust in God, you will not commit your life to God. You know, trusting is letting go and letting God. Trusting is not saying, look, you can have the car keys, but I'll sit in the driver's seat. It's letting go and letting God. And we have to trust in the Lord. You have to allow God to have his way. When his word says what it says, you've got to believe it. And as you can see quickly, these things are not quick in happening. They're a time thing. There's something that we've got to reiterate. There's something that we've got to continually put into our brain. There's something that we've got to remind ourselves of. Stop. Think, am I trusting God? No, I'm not. Sorry, God. You can have it back again, God. I used to do a lot of counselling in the early years of pastoring, and I'd have people come in and they would share all their problems with you. And then they'd walk out and they'd come back the next time and they'd share the same problems. And so, being the practical engineering brain that I had, I used to, before they started speaking, I would place on their finger a little bulldog clip. No, not a hard one so it hurt, but just enough to make them feel a little bit of pressure. And then I held a bit of string. And once they'd started to share, I said to them, now you can walk out of this and you can leave me with your problems or leave God with your problems, or you can take them back. It's your choice. But if you take that bulldog clip off when you leave here, you are determining in your mind that you're leaving everything that you've shared and said here. You know, for so often we delight in our own problems. We delight in the attention of our own problems. We don't really want to see change because that's our identity. If we want God to do what God wants to do in our lives, then we've got to trust him to do it his way. Then it says, dwell in the land. When I think of dwelling in the land, I do think of Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I think of just, you know, sitting down by the river in Psalm 1, or by allowing ourselves to paddle in the river that comes out of Ezekiel's temple, dwelling in the presence of God, resting, trusting, delighting in God. Then it says, feed on his faithfulness. Now, most of us would be able to see somewhere in our life that God has been faithful, that God has done something or answered something or been involved in our lives in a way that's shown us that he loves us. And so, to my way of thinking, when I feed in the faithfulness of God, I realize and recognize, as Dave Fernandez used to say, that God has got my best interest at heart, and that he is a faithful God, and that he does love me, And he's shown me that love by sending his son. As the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He has done everything that he promised he would do. And all we've got to do is look at the promises and the prophecies of Jesus coming. Jesus' life, Jesus' resurrection. To know that if all those things have happened and come to pass, then everything else is going to come to pass as well. And when God says he's given me every spiritual blessing, then he has. And so I feed on his faithfulness. And then it says to delight in the Lord. And we're going to talk about that in a bit more detail in a minute. Having done those things, and again, we might not do them perfectly, but it's an attitude of our heart. God, I'm trying to trust in you. That's like, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I love that scripture because it's so true. Lord, I do believe, but I got this little bit of doubt in my mind, so help me with that. Or it's like Paul saying, the things I do, I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. You know, the spirit's willing, the flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, in short. And after the desires of your heart are given, we then have another list of things that we must do. We must again commit that God's in charge. Commit to his way. God, having given me a desire in my heart, now I've got to trust you and commit this to you to do it your way. You're the boss, God. And it never ceases to amaze me how many times we try and become the boss over God. And again, if we had time, we could talk about Ishmael. We could talk about the trouble that Ishmael caused as Sarah and Abraham decided that they wanted to help God in producing one of his promises. You know, when we get our sticky fingers in God's way, we normally make a mess. So let's let go and let God again and just commit our way to him. Again, after the fact, trust him. Trust him that he's heard. Trust him that he knows what's going on. Trust him that he is going to do what he says. And then rest. Whenever I think of rest, I think of the scripture in Ephesians where it says, having done all, stand. Just rest. Sit down in a banana lounge and wait for it to happen. Because there might be processes that need to be done that you're not aware of. There might be circumstances and situations that God needs to orchestrate before something can happen. Wait patiently, something that we don't do too well, because we are here and now. We want things happening quickly. You've only got to watch television. You've only got to watch cricket and football to see how quickly things happen, how much they can put in an ad between change of over or a goal being kicked. We want instantaneous everything happening all the time. And if it's not happening quick enough, then we grab the remote and we want to flick it to something else just to watch something else. Chris often says to me, why do we change the channel from watching an ad to watching another ad? Because the ad on the next channel is better and there might be something better. And then when you get back to the movie or whatever you were watching, you've missed a bit and then you're in trouble. Who knows what I'm talking about? Every man knows what I'm talking about. It's just not fair, is it, that we can't play with our remotes anymore? Then it says, cease from anger. And I thought a lot about this. I believe that often our anger is not at anybody else but at God. God, you haven't answered my prayer or my desire like you said you would or like I thought you should. And so we have an anger towards God. Or maybe others, but I think it's often towards God if we're really honest. Then lastly, don't fret. Don't worry. Cast all your cares upon him. I love scriptures like this. You know, if your brother offends you, that means he will offend you. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. It looks like flesh and blood, I can tell you. If you worry, cast all your cares, which means that we know, or God knows that we are going to worry. If you sin, confess your sin. God knows we're going to sin. And so it's not the worry that's the issue. It's what we do with the worry. And so when you start to fret, when you start to worry that God hasn't answered your prayer, the Bible says, cast it back on him. And so that's the recipe. That's the part of the cake of God giving us the desires of our heart. But let's look at two key words. The words delight and the words desire. And I suppose for me, the number one question in all of this is, are your desires the same as God's desires? Do you know without a doubt that what you are desiring is what God desires for you? Do you know that what your heart is saying is God's heart for you? Because if we don't know that, then we start to set ourselves up for a fall. To know that we have God's desires, which he wants to answer and which he wants to give us at heart, we have to do a number of things. We've already seen a number of those things already. We have to trust, we have to dwell, we have to feed on his faithfulness. But how do we delight in the Lord? Sorry, I missed a slide. How do we delight in the Lord so that we may receive the desires of our heart? Again, as always, questions come out of questions. When I was putting this together, I thought, well, what is a delight? What does it really mean to delight in the Lord? The delight word could be changed for joy if you wanted to. Let me read a definition of delight. And I want you just to imagine that God is the focus and the subject of your delight when I read this definition. This is what you're thinking about when you think of God. Delight in the Lord. Have a great satisfaction and joy. Something or someone that gives great pleasure. To satisfy greatly or to please. Could you honestly say that God gives you great satisfaction and joy? Could you honestly say that without a shadow of a doubt that God gives you great pleasure? What about that God satisfies you greatly? What about that God pleases you? Now, I say that in a different sort of way as please. What's the key to finding the desires of our heart? I think we've already spoken about them already a little bit. But let's start to take great pleasure in God's goodness. Now, these things don't happen quickly. They don't happen just bang. They're a growth thing. It's like a husband and wife relationship. It's like being one together. You know, marriage is one of those things that forever and forever and forever is being worked upon. And there are certain, obviously, times in your relationship where there's a depth and a deepness that you seem to click into another level. But it's when you really become one, when you start to think about the other person first, you start to think about what would give them pleasure when you start to do things. It's taking self off the throne. Taking pleasure in seeing them happy. Taking pleasure in God's goodness is a way and part of getting delight. Taking joy in our salvation. Being thankful. And sometimes I think we just make salvation not really a big thing. It's like when we talk about war in our country now. There's two generations that have gone past now that have never really seen war or understood war. You know, we don't really understand what fighting's all about. I remember when Chris and I first went to the Netherlands and over to Europe, and the person we stayed with started to take us to some of the war posts. I can't remember the word for it now, but they were the outposts on their border. And they were forever manned. There were soldiers there at all times. They were doing sorties. They were doing training runs with their air force all the time, because they were in a state of preparedness for war all the time. Because in their minds, they knew what war was all about. They knew what their country being overrun was all about, and it wasn't going to happen again. We live in such a safe country in real terms. And I think we take it for granted. And believe it or not, I think so many of us take our salvation for granted. For me, I know I have. I was brought up in a Christian home. I was brought up in a beautiful home. Beautiful parents, love God, brought us up in the house of God. Church is the only thing I've ever known. Sure, I've had a couple of ups and downs in my life, but nothing major. And so, really, I don't know what it's like not to be saved. I only now know, as I think back, what I could have been like if God hadn't intervened in my life, where I could have been. But there are those that are in our church that have been saved at a later date, never had a God sieve in their lives, and they know the difference between black and white. It's like talking to a student in the school who's come into our school from another school, a school where there's drugs, where there's sex, where there's bullying, where there's not the incredible dedication of staff that we have, and they come into our school and they think it's just like a breath of fresh air. And then you talk to some of the students that have known nothing different, and they don't see it in the same light because they don't have the same perspective. We need to reflect on what our salvation is all about and what it really means to be saved. I said in the back prayer room when I was praying, I wonder what we would be like if we were in Job's situation and God's hand was taken off us for a short time. And we then started to really realize the health and the provision and the protection and all the things that God has given us was not there. We would start to understand what we really do have. Now, I would hate it to come to that. But when you look at some countries, they've needed to go through persecution to really have breakthrough and revival. Let's not get to that stage. Let's enjoy salvation. Another aspect of delight is for God to satisfy our every need, for us to have a heart to please Him in all that we do, to be like Paul and to be able to say, I have learnt to be content in all things. Let me tell you that desires take time. And that's where the words of Psalm 37 again are really clear. Wait, rest, trust, be patient, and know. If we delight in the Lord, I know that He will give us the desires of our heart, because I know that He is a good, good Father who delights in giving us His desires. So when we come to desires of the heart, unfortunately, I think many of us see Jesus as a genie in a bottle, just waiting to grant them any fleshy whim or fancy they may have. Now, I really want to highlight the word fleshy, because often that's what it is. You know, when my father was getting older, he used to say it wasn't fair. He had all the time in the world and nothing to do. He had more money than he needed and nothing to spend it on. Now, I used to love taking him out and telling him that he could spend it on me. But I think that's often the case, as we are with Christians, that we have so much in God that we start to think about the things that we want, not the things we need. We start to allow flesh to drive and dictate us. So you need to know whether your desire is a fleshy desire or not. And the way to really check that out is just ask yourself a simple question. Who's going to get the glory if I get this desire? Is God going to get the glory, or is it going to be to my glory? Is people going to say, wow, look at Graham, he's got a brand new boat? Or is it going to be something else? As we've already seen, this whole verse starts with delight in the Lord, then the desires of your heart. Unfortunately, sometimes we work on the basis of we'll have the desires of our heart, and when that happens, we'll then start delighting in God. As we delight in Jesus, I believe that our desires won't be fleshy in nature, because over time, as our relationship with Jesus matures, Jesus gives us a new nature. And with that new nature becomes a new heart. And therefore, our desires are not then our desires, but they're His desires. The longer we walk with Jesus, the more our heart becomes like Jesus. And so, after a while, the desires that we really have are not our desires at all. The desires that God has placed in our heart because He wants to bless us with them. And therefore our desires take on a new set of values. They become good and they become godly. And they're the ones that God wants to honour, because they're the ones that He's going to get the glory for. So in short, when your heart is for Christ, your heart will also be for Christ's values and Christ's desires. This is the process of what we say is being made more and more in the image of Christ. And I think that's the key to getting the desires of our heart. That's the key to the promise that God's got here. It is delighting in God first. It's putting God number one. So as I close, God delights in being generous to us, His people. He wants to give us the desires of our heart. And the real question is, are we going to delight in Him? Will we trust Him to give us what is best and provide us with our needs, not our greeds? Just think of you as an earthly parent. If you are a parent, think of yourself. Or if you're a child, think. Or a youth, think of your own parents. Just think of the delight they got when they gave you presents. Think of the delight that you got or had when you saw people opening presents at Christmas time and just seeing their requests of Santa being made and them getting that thing that they've been praying for so long. Just an amazing thing, it really is. You know, I remember my parents being delighted when somebody came up to them and said that we were good kids when we were out one day, knowing that we'd been rat bags when we were at home. I could see their faces. I can still see their faces now, the delight in their faces. And because they had been praised because of us being good, which we should have been, we were allowed to have dessert at the restaurant. And that was our reward in making our parents so happy. If you truly delight in God, God will grant you the desires of your heart. So, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also Him and rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Cease from anger. Do not fret, for it only causes harm. We're going to take communion right now. I'm wondering if we could distribute the elements. And this morning we're going to do We're going to do communion a little different. I'm going to ask you to hold it in your hand, and I'm going to ask you to reflect on your salvation. Reflect on what it means to hold in your hand those elements. Reflect on the love that God has already shown you. Reflect on already what God has given you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and we're going to sing Good, Good Father. Now, it could be because it's on the hit parade, but not necessarily. Every song that they have chosen this morning talks about God giving us promises. If you have any anger, if you have any discouragement, if you have any doubt this morning, I'm going to ask you to ask God to forgive you for those. This is going to be a private time between you and God, this communion time. I don't want you to stand. I don't want you to do anything but just concentrate and focus on the elements that you've got in your hand. And then I want you to consider what we've talked about. Consider, first of all, this year, setting your face to delighting in God. Number one, God, this year, my number one focus, not New Year's resolution, not my commitment, my focus this morning, my focus for this year is going to be to set my face in delighting you. Now, that will be different for every one of us. For some, well, I'm not even going to tell you what it could be because I don't want to put thoughts in your mind. I believe that God will put something in your mind that he wants you to do or started to do that's going to help you to delight in him. Just ask yourself, God, what would give you the greatest pleasure? What could I do for you that would give you the greatest pleasure? Now, I have an incredible confidence in the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, as soon as you get a pressure thought in your mind today, then I want you to stay on that pressure thought. Because I know that I know that I know that the majority of you, the first thing that you get in your mind is what God wants you to hear. Because we're focusing on him, we're inquiring of him, we're thinking on him. And having got that, God, what do you want me to do that is going to help me delight in you this year? Then I'm going to ask you to say, okay, God, what is it that you want to give me this year? What is your desire for me this year? What is your desire to give me? Now, this morning as I was praying early, I really felt that there's some here that you've already been hearing from God. God has been giving you desires already, but you're rejecting them because they're not your desires. You don't like them. You don't want them. Or you think they're a little bit too hard work. Now, this is not about you. This is about God. And you can frustrate yourself as much as you want. I don't mind if you go around the mountain another year if you want. That's between you and God. But I would suggest strongly, and I've been that way. I have struggled and battled with God often on things. And I've worked out that he always wins, so I might as well give in at the start and enjoy the ride. Give in. And say, God, okay, I'm going to make that my desire. Because that's what God wants you to have right now. There's some of you that you know full well what you need to do. And you've been stubborn about it. And you're not doing it. Let's get our acts together. Because I know that we can come to the end of the year and we can say, hey, tick, 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 tick. God's done what he said he would do. Because, one, we've delighted in him, i.e. we've sought him first, and two, we've allowed him to take charge of our lives.